Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
That's what I'm talking about!
What are you talking about?
Like I said before.
What are you talking about when you say...
Dude, you're not listening to what I just said.
Slow down now. What are you talking about?
I don't get caught up in that.
All right, we're back at it here at Hillcrest Golf Course. We are here for the BMA Foundation Annual Golf Tournament. You can check them out at bmafoundation.com or .org, I guess it is. And you can check them out there, make donations. And all the money, Google figure it out for you. Just type in BMA Foundation and you'll get it right there. All the money stays right here in Kansas City and helps out so many different foundations around the Kansas City area. And now we are ready to help you out today when we play another edition of
Who Are You Talking About?
Each week, Andy Reid talks so glowingly about a particular player.
And that in an entry, empty country club here.
You did. That was really good. A couple of people out there. How you doing, folks?
Sorry about that. Way to wake up.
Sorry to wake that lady up who was sleeping in the corner from last night. The thing that we do is we play a soundbite from Andy Reid talking about a player. It's a very obvious soundbite of who Andy Reid is talking about.
I mean, this week's a dead giveaway.
I think it is. And if you listen to Show and Vern on Wednesday when Andy Reid addresses the media, you will know exactly what Andy Reid is, or who Andy Reid, I should say, is talking about when you hear this soundbite. So we'll play the soundbite. We'll take your phone calls. First person to guess wins a fabulous prize.
Fabulous.
From 610 Sports fabulous. Radio. 913-576-7610 is the telephone number. Kramer, play that soundbite for us.
He's played.
There it is. He's played, is what Andy Reid said.
That's good.
So 913-576-7610. Who's up first? Ryan on?
Who are you talking about? We go to TJ in Bonner Springs. TJ, who are we talking about?
Sammy Watkins.
No, it is not Sammy Watkins, but a very good guess nonetheless. 913-576-7610 is the telephone number. Alex in Prairie Village.
Alex, who are we talking about?
D'Anthony Thomas?
No, it is not D'Anthony Thomas, but a very, very good guess of D'Anthony Thomas. 913-576-7610 is the telephone number. 913-576-7610 is the telephone number. Kramer, play that soundbite again so the folks can hear it. Or not.
He's played.
There it is. He's played. He's played is what Andy Reid has to say. You ready for that first clue?
Are we
ready?
I know. Are you ready for the first clue?
All right, I'll give you a first clue. He was drafted by the Kansas City Chiefs. John in KCK, you are up next. John?
Who are you talking about?
I will say Anthony Hitchens.
No, Anthony Hitchens not drafted by the Kansas City Chiefs. That was your first clue.
So we've got Sammy, we've got Dat.
Dat and Anthony Hitchens. And, you know, if the answer is not who you say it is, then he obviously hasn't been talking about that guy.
That's right. Usually the opposite is true as well.
But I think
all those guys have played.
I think they have. So 913-576-7610 is your telephone number. 913-576-7610 is the telephone number. He's played. And he was drafted by the Kansas City Chiefs. That is your first clue. He was drafted by the Kansas City Chiefs. So if you know who that is, 913-576-7610 is our telephone number today as we are at Hillcrest Golf Course here on 610 Sports Radio. Let's go next to, who is that, Krista in KC? Krista, you're up next.
Krista, who are we talking about?
Mecole Hardman.
Yeah! There you go, Krista. What gave it away?
I don't know. I just kept guessing.
All right. Fair enough. Fair enough. Mecole Hardman. Of course, you can obviously hear it when Andy says this. Play the bike, Kramer.
He's played.
I mean, you can clearly see. You can clearly see who he's talking
once
about.
Once you know the answer,
right.
You're like, oh,
I should have known it. It's like last night we were out at Salty Iguana having dinner. And
I saw that. You looked like you had some lovely fried ice cream.
And, oh, it was so good.
Quesadillas
fried ice cream.
For the little legs.
Of course, they always get that, right? So they have these riddles on the kids' menu that they're reading. You know, the kids have the kids' menu, and there's like all these riddles, and you try to figure out like what the hell they're talking about. And then you get the answer like, oh, yeah, it was so obvious. That's kind of the way it is with Andy Reid and who he talking about here on 610 Sports Radio. So congratulations to Krista. She is the big winner today. Coming up in about 10 minutes or so here on 610 Sports Radio, a major event happened at the station last night that we need to tell you about. So we will do that coming up in about 10 minutes or
big
so here
stuff.
At 610 Sports Radio. I want to get back into the Cam Newton, Patrick Mahomes conversation, and we talked a little bit about it at the top of the show and really in the last segment with protecting Patrick Mahomes and how important that it is. And watching Cam Newton last night really reassured the point I made yesterday or the day before, like, Cam Newton has fallen big time in the NFL. Like, the guy has, I don't even want to say leveled off. He went from an MVP, 3 years ago to a guy right now who you look at and you don't know if you can count on to win. And when I see Cam Newton, when I see Andrew Luck, and I see the end come so fast, and I'm not saying the end is here for Cam Newton, but he's clearly not the quarterback that he was, you know, a couple of years ago. When you see the decline happen so fast and the retirement happen so fast, I hit the brakes and I go, hey, make sure you're appreciating everything that Patrick Mahomes is doing and the way that Patrick Mahomes is playing right now, and you enjoy every moment of that. Because while we think he's going to be around forever and a day, I don't think any of us saw Cam Newton falling off after the MVP season, and I don't think anybody saw Andrew Luck retiring like he did, you know, before he reached his 30th birthday, which, happy birthday, Andrew Luck, that was yesterday.
Oh. We still did today in history, yeah. We would have known
you
that.
You would have missed it, though, probably.
I definitely would have missed it now that I think about it. But to me, I think that this, because, number one, like, we've seen some guys that have walked away from the sport, and it's made you question whether or not they have the love for the game.
Right.
Well, look, I wouldn't bash on anybody for walking away under the exact same way that Andrew Luck did.
Right.
Like, I mean, when you are physically and mentally beat down, like, that's no place for you to be. And look, a lot of listeners, a lot of fans, you know, I think that your first reaction is, wow, I'll take all that money to do that.
Yeah.
You're not in that situation, man. And look, I know that the money and the paycheck seems nice, but at some point you have to put your physical and mental health over top of getting paid. I'm not just going to let somebody beat me up each day of the rest of my life if they're giving me $1 million. Like, it's just not worth it to me. And I think at some point you're starting to see these athletes put themselves first. Now, a lot of it does have to do with the money. A lot
sure.
of it has to do with the fact that you can make what you used to make in a 10, 12-year career in a 5-6-year window. You know, you get through that rookie deal, you sign a deal, and once you play through that first deal, you can dip out. You can go ahead, and you've got a nice, comfortable little retirement
right.
for you. So I understand it, and I think that just because you've seen so much of it lately, it puts that question, that little bit of doubt in your mind. You know, you saw guys like Rob Gronkowski step away.
Right.
Still looks like he could play. Still talks about how he could physically play, but mentally, you know, he's not there. Like, there's all sorts of guys or instances that you could draw on to say, wow, do these guys really have the love for the game, or are they doing this because it's a paycheck for them, and it's something that they excel at and they can do at that level?
I think we love the game more than the guys that are playing love the game.
And I
honestly mean that, you know, 100%.
I mean, you can see that when
heart.
We talk
yeah.
like rivalries and things like that. Like, you're in a day and age now where free agency is so abundant that rivalries among players, I don't necessarily think happen, unless you're talking about, you know, guys like Tyreek Hill and Jalen Ramsey. Like, things like that happen.
Sure.
I don't think the true helmet game rivalries really mean that much to players anymore.
They really don't. And you can just sense it just based on this week alone. And we've talked about the Raider week rivalry not being there anymore. But guys have other interests now. And they use the NFL and maybe the NBA and maybe Major League Baseball and the NHL and hockey and whatnot. They use that as kind of a launching pad to get their other interests out there. Like, you know, Cam Newton couldn't, you know, sell his old lady clothing line if he didn't have the National Football League as a stage for him to be able to do that.
He does have some old lady garb.
I mean, what was with the thing that
he
was wearing
last night?
You think he
crochets?
He probably knits.
He's got like a crochet bag he takes with him to McDoilies and like tea kettles.
He passes them out to the players.
Little
make sure
holders
use
for the
that
kids.
As a, you know, make sure you use that as a coaster now.
Like everyone that goes to Cam's table. House for Christmas knows they're going to get some crappy sweater you made for them.
And a fruitcake. I mean, like that. That's what he's passing up. Things nobody
going
wants.
Over to Cam's house, he's making popcorn balls.
Oh, you know, popcorn ball is the worst, man. Like people who pass that thing out. Ugh.
I mean, I like popcorn balls.
Oh, no, that popcorn ball is just terrible. So anyway, so like you wonder if Cam Newton truly wants to play football, or did he use the NFL as the platform to get his other stuff going? Because I think a lot of guys in professional sports right now are making their big money, but also utilizing the game to benefit themselves for when they are done. And when they feel like they've reached that point, they're dipping out. I think Pat's different. I think he actually loves the game and wants to play the game. But with all the merchandise that he has right now, it would not shock me if these guys dip out a lot earlier than we expect. Tom Brady may be the last of the play until you can't play anymore type of players in the National Football League. Coming up here on 610 Sports
By the way,
Radio.
Big reminder. C-Dot out of the.
Oh, I was going to say, that's the big news we got coming up here. We were gonna you know, tease ahead
wow,
to
I
that.
I just really killed the tease for you.
You really did. Now,
it's my duty today. Each segment coming in and out, we remind you, Carrington took less than 2 weeks. Didn't even
right.
make it two Sundays
Didn't make it to
into
the
NFL
Sunday.
Season. So.
So there goes the tease now that we had nicely predicted.
How in the world?
How did you do that, Ryan? You screwed the tease. Carrington lost. He's out of the survivor pool.
That's fine. I'm still going to tell you after the break.
That's true. But one guy thinks they can beat the Chiefs, and he's going to tell you how they do it next.
Fesco in the morning.
Yay or nay? 69306 on the text line. That's the next topic. 8:15 we'll talk to you, sir. Please set your watch. We will.
Is there
take
a
your...
silver alert today? Are you lost, sir? Do you need help finding home?
I'm out. Be the funniest thing.
I
that
enjoy
I have
popcorn
heard.
Balls. I don't know why the text line is
popcorn
disagreeing
balls.
About
yay
popcorn
or nay
balls.
On the popcorn balls. Let us know what you think. And
my
yes,
my grandmother
there is a
may she
alert.
Rest
oh
in peace.
God.
My grandmother may she rest in peace. Made a tremendous popcorn ball.
It's always stale.
These were not stale.
Yeah, well, maybe you got it right out of the oven. But
6-2-0 popcorn balls are like brisket. They're either really good or really bad.
Okay, I can see that, but I think most of them are really bad. I don't know that I've ever really had a good popcorn ball.
Well,
so.
I wish I could turn back the hands of time back when my grandmother was alive and let you respect a good popcorn
Well, so let us know. 69306, you in or you out when it comes to the
I mean,
to
you
the
told me you
ball.
Thought that was the worst Halloween candy. I've never had one for Halloween. I've always had them around Christmas
Well,
time.
Yeah, terrible for Halloween. Like, we were debating raisins or a popcorn ball. People would rather get raisins than a popcorn ball. I told you, I'd rather get a toothbrush than the popcorn ball.
Popcorn caramel around the outside of popcorn.
It's disgusting.
Formed into a ball.
It is absolutely awful. So anyway, there you have it. Popcorn ball, yay or nay, 69306.
Popcorn balls right up there with candy corn.
Candy corn's terrible too.
You
put people put candy corn in the popcorn ball. Oh, God.
You mix the candy corn and the peanuts.
Candy corns
like
were made in 1920 and haven't been made since. Okay.
No, those were circus peanuts. You're wrong about that.
Speaking of in or out, Carrington is out of the survivor pool. He didn't even make it to the second Sunday of the survivor pool. He is a been eliminated,
trash.
Double Just. Eliminated. He took the Carolina Panthers last night, so Carrington Harrison officially gone from the survivor pool. He is no longer eligible to win, and anybody who picked him is no longer eligible to win in the survivor pool. So that is the big news of the day here at 610 Sports Radio. The run, man. I'll tell you what, it's Raider week. You're thinking to yourself, could the Raiders potentially, you know, sneak up and beat the Kansas City Chiefs? I believe the answer to that question is no. I think they're going to win 40-24. We called that game over on, I think, Wednesday this week. We got the game over. 40-24, the Chiefs will win this thing. But if offensive coordinator Greg Olsen has his way, the Oakland Raiders may be able to do some damage to this Chiefs defense.
We're built to run the football. I think when you look at our running back now and you look at our offensive line, the tight end situation, we're built to run the football. And, you know, there are a lot of statistics and analytics out there that prove that running the football is still important in the National Football League, and we're not ever going to veer away from that. And we feel right now that we have the players to run the football.
So that's Greg Olsen talking about running the football. And earlier in the game when we did our Smokehouse Barbecue Fantasy Pick to Pop, Kramer, who's in for Josh this week on the Fantasy Pick to Pop, picked Josh Jacobs of the Raiders as his running back this week. And he had the first selection, mind you, so he's mailing it in like Carrington did with the Survivor pool. But he's not, like, wrong off. Like, if you're looking for a running back that could potentially sneak up this week and get you some points, right? It could be. It could be the Oakland Raiders running the football, because as much as I'm willing to give this defense a free pass until October, and I don't say free pass, but not really to make a judgment on them, the one thing they weren't able to do last year, and we saw it really in week one against the Jags, giving up 5 yards a carry to Leonard Fournette, they haven't been able to stop that run. And that's something that they need to do a better job of, because ultimately that's what got the Chiefs beat last year. When they could not stop the run, they lost football games. And the big one, obviously, being the AFC Championship game with Rex Burkhead scoring that game-winning touchdown and their defensive line and linebackers blown into the next universe. So if the Raiders commit to the run and they have success with the run, it accomplishes two things. They keep the ball, they move it down the field, they end up scoring points, and it keeps the Chiefs' offense off the field as well. And so the run game could be kind of the wild card this week, that if you're looking at it from a you know, standpoint of could the Raiders win, which they can't, but if you're looking at it from that standpoint, the run game may be one of those things to kind of keep your eye on. And I think the run game all year for opponents of the Chiefs is going to be something to keep your eye on. As much as this is a passing league and we're not in 1995 anymore, the running game is still key to success, and it's proven out even last year with the Chiefs.
I mean, especially against a team like the Kansas City Chiefs. If you keep the ball out of their offense's hands, that's really the best defense, right? Like, the best defense for the Chiefs, or to play against the Chiefs with, is to keep the ball away from them, to grind the clock out. And look, you're right, it's not 1995 anymore, but I think that the way that this Chiefs defense is set up, being able to control the time of possession and then be able to beat them with a couple of big strikes over the top, like, I don't really think that it's difficult to score quickly against the Chiefs defense, at least right now. In this exact week two right now, it doesn't appear that difficult to score quickly against the Chiefs defense. So if you know that you can do that, and all the time biding your time and chipping away at the clock and making sure, like, what was it, 2-3 years ago in Oakland when they had that last-second touchdown, was Crabtree in the corner of the end zone.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
They had the PI call, and they got to do it all over again. Like, I don't...
Is that one of the 100 greatest plays in the NFL now, too?
I hope not. But, that, like, to me, this game coming up this weekend feels kind of like a setup for that. Like, to me, the Raiders are coming off of a big win. They felt really good coming out of it against a division opponent.
Yeah.
Now you get another division opponent. And, oh, by the way, you're not going to play again at home until, like, November.
Right.
So, and they have a home game, but it's in London, right?
Yeah,
so,
that doesn't count, though.
So you don't – I think they have all the motivation in the world to go out there and play well, and not to mention the fact that you are playing against a team that's number one, your rival, and number two is the darling pick to win the Super Bowl. Everyone's talking about Pat Mahomes and the Kansas City Chiefs. Like, if you go out there and hang around, show a respectable, or even have a win this Sunday, like, that does something for your confidence. That puts you into the next level, the next stratosphere of confidence. And so, you know, to me, I would love to be wrong about this, but it just feels like it's setting up to be one of those very close helmet-style games where it doesn't matter about the players on the field. It's more about the teams that are playing.
Yeah, 40-24 Chiefs win. let me ask you this, though. Would your impression change more of the Raiders or the Chiefs if the Raiders come out with a win this week? Because for me, it would be the Raiders. I'd be like, okay, maybe they're a legit team.
I mean, I told you going into the season, I thought I was a little higher on the Raiders than you were. I thought they were an 8-win team.
Yeah.
And I mean, if they go out and beat the Chiefs, I think that, number one, it's a division game. We know anything can happen in the division. It's a home game. It's you know, the last time you're going to play your rival in the Oakland Coliseum. I mean, all of these things kind of weigh into it. So I don't think necessarily I move my bar from that. Like, I think I still kind of remain neutral after that week if the Raiders come out with
but,
a win.
But I think that, like I said, the Chiefs are going to win this football game. But the Raiders may be able to do some things against them that other teams can see and say, you know what, this could be something. If we're a better team, we have the opportunity to do this against them. And that's, for me, what I don't want to see. I just don't want to see an effective running game against these guys this week. This is a man-up game. Like, this is be a man and go out there and stop the run on defense. That's the type of game that they need to play. Get physical, get after it, be men, and shut down the run so other teams go, all right, we're not going to be able to run against these guys. Because I think the mindset right now, Ryan, is we can run against the Kansas City Chiefs. They have an opportunity to change that mindset this weekend.
You can't go out there and mail it in like CDOT.
Right, that's exactly right. You cannot. You can 100% not do that and lose the survivor pool before the second Sunday of the NFL season has rolled around, like Carrington Harrison has done. If you pick Carrington in that pool, you have been eliminated as
you
well.
You played yourself.
Yeah, it's on you. 913-576-6 7610 is the telephone number. If you know yesterday's player of the game that Cody gave you on the Royals postgame show for a shot at Topper's Pizza, 913-576-7610 is the telephone number. And coming up, we saw something in an NFL game at the Oakland Coliseum, at least I did, that I've never, ever seen before. We'll tell you what it is next.
Fesco in the morning.
We're live on the radio.
Oh, we're live on the radio. Sorry, I'm having a nice conversation here. We're still trying to find Jerry Anselmo. The Silver Alert is out for Jerry Anselmo. If anybody sees him today, let us know.
It is time for the player of the game, brought to you by Mazarese Jewelry. Four generations of distinctive jewelry. Cody gave you a player of the game on the post-game show yesterday. All you got to do is lock that into the memory bank. Tell us who it is. Give us a call at 7:45 the next day and tell us who it is. And you get $25 to Topper's Pizza. You get it wrong, it's just going to roll over to tomorrow and keep rolling over until somebody wins. And each winner also qualified for the grand prize, a $500 gift card to Mazarese Jewelry at the end of the month. Daniel is out in Gallatin. Daniel, do you know the player of the game that Cody gave you yesterday?
Here is the 1-2 pitch. Dynamite. Dozier hammers it deep to left. That's a way, way back and a way, way out of here. And the Royals are back in front on a 3-run home run by Hunter Dozier.
Congratulations to Daniel. I'm assuming he won something.
Yeah, congratulations, buddy. Congratulations to you.
Be sure to be listening to Cody each and every night after the Royals game to get the player of the game. Royals get 6-3 winners yesterday out in the south side of Chicago. Back at it tonight as they welcome the Houston Astros into town for a 3-game weekend set. Cody will have pregame for you starting at 6 o'clock. Danny Duffy towing the slab tonight for the good guys. Garrett Cole for the Strohs.
There you go. I'll be out at the game tonight. If you see me, say hello. We'll be out at Kauffman Stadium tonight.
Hello.
Hello. How are you today? The Raiders and Chiefs this weekend out in Oakland. And I was getting nostalgia about this. And I don't know why I'm getting nostalgia about the Oakland Raiders and the Kansas City Chiefs. Well, I kind of do. But, I mean, like the Oakland Coliseum, I have no real connection to the Oakland Coliseum or real love for the Oakland Coliseum or anything like that. But I did go to one game there back in 2002, and it was a really unique experience because the Chiefs were playing the Raiders, obviously, and KU was playing Cal, and the games were on the same day. They were the Saturday at the end of the NFL season, and that basketball arena where the Warriors play is right next to that stadium. So watched the KU game and then went over and watched the Chiefs game, and it was a pretty cool doubleheader out there. And the one thing that I remember from that game in that Oakland Coliseum, well, there's a couple of things. Number one, it was raining, and it was a miserable day, so, of course, everything was flooded out there.
The press
box was leaking. Everybody was getting rained on inside the press box. Turds were floating next to you. Carl Peterson was sitting right behind me, and being a young kid at the time, like, you know, in 2002. So what was that? 17 years ago.
20-02.
Yeah. Wow. So yeah. I'm sitting there. I was really before the age of being really able to rent a car without the upcharge. You know, I think I was 23 or 24 years old at that time.
A weird marker in your
right?
life.
Well, when you turn 25, you didn't have to pay the upcharge for the rental car.
That's fair.
So I'm sitting there, and I remember Carl Peterson sitting behind me, and he was listening into the headsets that the coaches were on during that game. And I thought that was kind of cool. I'm like, wow, the GM sitting here listening to, and you could hear him like get mad if he didn't like something and things like that. So kind of living the game through Carl Peterson. But the one thing that I remember the most was being in that game, being stuck in traffic because there were two games going on at the same time with the basketball game and the football game, and seeing former Raiders special teams coach Joe Avezzano just ditching his car in traffic and power walking to the game because he wasn't going to make it had he sat in
like
his
car.
Like
that R.E.M. video?
Yeah, a little bit like that, yeah. But the guy was like an old...
Everybody Hurts on that song?
Yeah, the guy's an everyday, an older version of Cosmo Kramer, right? Like, he looked like Cosmo
so
Kramer.
So was it just in traffic? He just, like, put it in park and got
yeah,
out?
Yeah, just got out of his car
didn't
and started
bother, like,
hoofing
pull it.
It
over to the side
no,
of the
just
road
got
maybe?
Out, just left it there. Maybe his wife was in it with him, or I don't know if there was somebody there with him.
What kind of car was it?
I don't even remember what kind of car it
I'm
was.
I'm assume it was a Buick.
Probably so. Back then, probably like
a
LeSabre or something.
I don't know why it's a Buick in my head.
Yeah, absolutely. And
one of those big hood ornaments on
yep,
it.
Yep, had the hood ornament and everything. So he just gets out of the car, and he starts power walking through traffic. And this guy was on a mission. And the Chiefs ended up losing like 24-28 that day. And it was either the Raiders coming off the Super Bowl or getting ready to go to the Super Bowl. And they were a much better team than the Chiefs. But that'll always be my memory of Oakland Alameda Coliseum. And then riding in the elevator on the way down.
He's the full Christian man.
I did, yeah. Riding in the elevator on the way down to the locker room after the game was over, I had like a KMBZ shirt on because that's who I was working for at the time. And the logo had a little red in it. And the Oakland fans were all like, why are you wearing red into this stadium? It was a black polo with a little red in the KMBZ logo. And they got so mad. At the Oakland Coliseum. So, like, part of me is like, yeah, that place is a dump, but we're not going to have as much fun with the Raider rivalry going forward once this is in Las Vegas, because quite honestly, I think there's going to be more Chiefs fans there going forward, because it's not going to be like a place you're afraid to go. I think it's going to be a place where people are going to want to go for the visiting team, and I think we're going to lose that home field atmosphere that you have at the Oakland Coliseum. It would be almost like if Arrowhead moved somewhere else and it became a 65,000 seat, you know, stuffy stadium that you had to have, somebody's will to give you money to get tickets to be able to pay for it to get into the stadium type of deal. Like, I think it's going to lose that nostalgia. And I think we've lost some of that over the years in the NFL. And, like, if I could go back and watch a game at a place that doesn't exist anymore, I would love to go back to the original Mile High, because every time I go to Denver, people tell stories. Like, every time, that stadium opened September 10, 2001, the day before 9/11.
Weird.
And so that's been 18 years since that new stadium opened. And every time I'm out there, which has been a lot, people say, man, if you would have just seen the old stadium and it shook and it moved and it was like a great place to watch a football game. Like, I regret that I never got the opportunity to see a game at Old Mile High, like that Monday night game with Willie Davis catching that touchdown pass. Like, how cool would it have been to be in that stadium? And I feel like Oakland is going to be one of those places, if you never got to it, 20 years from now, you'd be like, damn, I wish I saw a game in that Oakland Coliseum. I bet it would have been pretty cool.
Brandon Flowers, pick six, flexing on the black hole. That's probably my favorite. Like,
that's your memory.
Like, Oko.
With all the middle fingers.
Oh, yeah. And, you know, I was reminiscing about it last night. I was watching, like, an interview that someone had done with him. He was talking about, you know, popcorn and ice and beer just hailing down. He's like, I just loved it. He just fed into it more. I mean, Jamal's five touchdown game.
That was pretty good.
That was a good game in Oko. I mean, I just think back to, you know, what was it, the year that Houston was eliminated by the Chiefs, the Texans were eliminated by the Chiefs, and also Houston Astros were eliminated by the Royals. And I thought to myself, I'm like, man, people in Oakland and in Houston must not really like KC sports right now. Some of the biggest games that I can think of were like Oakland and Kansas City, you know, whether it be the wild card game, whether it be, you know, some of those big matchups Monday night against the Raiders and things like that. So I just think about the rivalry, how deep it runs. And you're right. Like, it means more to fans than it does to the players. But to me, I'll always be able to remember, like, some of those old, you know, black hole moments where the Chiefs were, you know, mocking the guys in the black hole while they're just, you know, throwing beer and stuff at them. Like, nowadays we frown upon those sorts of things. But I think it just kind of shows how passionate those fans were. And, you know, I don't think it's necessarily right to go ahead and do that,
right.
But you know what? It shows some of the passion in it and shows some of the fire in that rivalry, and I thought it was cool.
And that rivalry is not like it used to be. And I think really why we hold on to the rivalry so much as fans is because for most of us, when Marty Schottenheimer took over the organization, you know, we'd gone 20 years without having a team in Kansas City, right? Like, the team was there, obviously, but they stunk. They were awful. Nobody was going to Chiefs games. They weren't a thing. Nobody cared about them. And Marty came in, and the first thing that he really did was embrace that rivalry. And when they turned it around, him and Carl and whatnot, and they embraced that Raider rivalry, all the fans embraced that Raider rivalry again because the way that the team was making it. And it's something that really is carried forward. Like, I think ultimately Marty's legacy in Kansas City is going to be, oh, and he made sure that Raider rivalry was big and it was Raider week and everybody knew about it. And fans have kind of tried to carry that tradition forward. But with the day and age of sports where it is today, it's just not the same. You ask Glenn Dawson about the Raider rivalry, he'll tell you how cheap shot and jerks those guys were back in the day, too.
It might sound weird, too. Like, there's a piece of me that's, like, hoping a lot of that stays in place to the move to Oakland, because a lot of that
– To Vegas,
from Oakland. But I think a lot of that means something to us, too, in so far as, like, the rivalry and how we perceive it. I think some of those super fans, you know, you see Dr. Doom out there and you see those guys. Like, I hope those – that travels to Vegas. I hope the black hole is still a thing in Vegas. Like, I assume they're going to. You don't kill a tradition like that. But you never know. I really hope some of that imports with it, because I think it's important to what we do, Chiefs-Raiders rivalry week. And, look – again, it doesn't mean the same thing to the players. We get it, but it means something. It's still real
still
to me.
It still means stuff to us, right? Like, you still want to see that rivalry. So is there a stadium? For me, it's Old Mile High. Is there a stadium you wish you could go back and watch a game in?
The Silver Dome?
That's
a good one. I wouldn't mind watching one of those. It's a dump now.
Is it torn down?
Not yet. There were a bunch of pictures floating around maybe a year or two ago about how just dilapidated.
Oh, it's terrible.
Pieces of it are falling down inside of itself, and so. But yeah, I would have loved to have been able to see that, because I've been to Ford Field, and it's. I mean, I'm not a huge fan of domes, but I would have liked to be able to watch the Lions in that old one.
Yeah, 69306 on the Protein House Eat with a Purpose text line. If you could go back and watch a game in a stadium that doesn't exist anymore for football, which one would it be? 69306. Let us know. Coming up, we're going to talk to former Chief Joe Mays. He's going to join us every Friday at 8 o'clock. We'll find out his take about rivalry still being a thing in the National Football League, and his thoughts on the Chiefs defense after week one. We talk with former Chief Joe Mays next.
Fesco in the morning.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.